Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
Forced to vote is apparently not going away, and this fact blows our mind. The online left wants to rehash the useless argument and waste whatever platform they have. Nobody with a passive interest in politics even knows what forced to vote is. It's fake online drama, but the generation of these useless struggle sessions appears to be the left's core competency. This got us thinking, what is the left accomplishing right now versus what they should be doing?
Arguably, the left is so splintered, it's crazy. It's like the people that are all in saying things like, China is communist, and the other side saying, well, China isn't really a communist state, right? And then the left fights each other over whether or not China's communist. Or things like forced to vote was a great idea because it really made people think about Medicaid, but all it did was alienate and isolate the four leftist voters in Congress.
So it serves to effectively create perpetual fracturing where everybody runs to their corner and then the two people in the corner argue with each other and then they run to a different corner and there's a bunch of fucking corners at some point and nobody's aligned collectively to put forth good messaging.
Yeah, it's because there's no centralized party. We've talked about that before. The closest thing we have is that piece of shit DSA that spends all their time in nonsense, la-la neoliberal land, right? And we have like people that say, oh, Bernie's a communist, or Bernie didn't go far enough, or the Democratic Socialist killed Rosa. I mean, it really comes down to there is no centralized planning, there is no centralized message. And at this point in time, there is no like leftist scholar or leftist media or anybody that's on the left that's has a coherent message. So you can't even regurgitate anything that makes any sense as comprehensive because there's nobody out there that has a mass following. And we're stuck with this like desert of just the terminally online left just making things up as they want to, and that gets what's, you know, retweeted out.
So we talked about that a little bit on the previous episode where Martin Luther King and then to some extent Bernie were the last true left. And we used true left in the true Scotsman context as well as just a stand-in for somebody that can actually message and appears to be a somewhat unifying force that cohesively holds together all the fractured pieces. There's nothing like that anymore.
Yeah, there's nothing like that. And it's like the South Park video game Fractured Butthole. Bernie brought together all the individuals that were delusional or non-delusional about what the left could be. There's people who are in their gut, right? The cathartic feeling of what left is, which is community, a just society, which is a equal pay for equal work mentality, right? Medicaid for all. There's these very selfless, ingrained leftist ideals that are out there that people love, but there isn't anybody out there articulating it because it's all wrapped in either nonsense posturing, right? It's either Medicare for all or nothing, or it's, you know, anti-war, it's nothing, which of course are great positions. But the question is how do you message individuals to get them motivated, excited, and ready to go so you don't have these fractured buttholes on the left?
The vast majority of people on the left, I think if you were to describe what their ideological standpoint was, it would be anti-capitalist and anti-neoliberal. But I don't think most people are able to coherently state what anti-capitalism or anti-neoliberalism is in a formal academic sense. But they are able to express ideas that clearly fit in those buckets. And the absence of a narrative, I guess, is a hindrance to the messaging of everybody needs to come back together, walk away from your corners, and work together.
Yeah, and let's take the forced to vote, and let's take the Medicare for all, Medicaid for all, however you want to frame it, right? Let's first take a step back and ask yourselves, like, what does it achieve by saying Medicare for all? Like, in the context, everybody understands that Medicare is a way for our elderly people, or Medicaid for our disenfranchised and impoverished and, you know, hard-struck people to get medical. But at the end of the day, no one actually understands what it means to have Medicaid or Medicare for all. They know that you go to the doctor, right? But they don't know what it means. Is there still a billing department, right? Is it still handled by a private company? Is it still channeled through your work? Does your company pay more in taxes so that they can cover your your portion of it just like you would in a private company, or do you pay taxes and see that remit back from your company? All these structural things that people want to know, nobody actually understands what it is, so they can't articulate what a policy is. So forcing the vote on this vacuous subject of Medicare for All makes no sense, because there's no policy that's drafted. Like, nobody has a plan. So what are you going to force a vote on? Extending Medicaid for All with Medicare Part D and all these other loopholes to everybody? Or are you going to expand Medicaid beyond the impoverished? Like, it doesn't make any sense, and the left has no message. So there's no plan. And it's just, let's just vote and make these Southern Democrats who are in Republican counties vote on something that nobody understands what the fuck it is.
People like to know the details of things, but in the medical healthcare context, to some degree, it doesn't matter. The value statement is you should be able to go to the doctor whenever you need to get any of your maladies addressed. And most people on the left will say, I agree with that position. That's our position. It's a very basic human rights oriented, equality based statement. Everybody should have healthcare. I don't think there needs to be a whole lot of messaging around that point of view. I think the left has, for the most part, already won that argument. You see polls out there where a lot of the U.S. population supports Medicare for All. And right now, I think Medicare for All is very closely tied to just the concept of we're going to have healthcare and it's going to be affordable, accessible, whatever verb you want to call it, but people be able to get healthcare. That's good. That's great. But then there's the details. And there are a number of bills in Congress that are written, but the public consciousness of how to fund stuff is not understood. And I personally don't think the details are that complicated. It's a single-payer plan. You take the costs and you make taxpayers just evenly divide up and pay whatever the true cost is. That's the argument behind Medicare. But there's all these details and people don't understand them. And the goal is to just force a vote when people don't understand the details. It doesn't really make a lot of sense from a, I'm going to use what little federal power I have and continue fracturing the idea behind having access to healthcare, which is good and you're winning at, to achieve some really baseless and useless hypothetical achievement of getting a vote to hold people in southern rural Democratic districts that we may or may not hold going forward so that they can be run by a gun-loving fascist in the future.
Yeah, and I'm a gun-loving non-fascist, but the issue is if you told a farmer you don't have to commit suicide in order to pay for your medical bills because you've got cancer and no health insurance, they'd like that, right? If you told someone in the cities, like, you're going to work every day and you have crippling arthritis and you have no way of doing this or taking care of it, and you told them that you can take care of it, they'll love that. And if you told them that it's going to be structured the same way that Medicare tax is already structured and Social Security tax is already structured, it's a payroll tax that'll be matched by your employer or not at all, people will understand that concept. It's not that hard of a concept. It's a progressive tax. Those that make more money pay more for it. There's no cap. It's a very simple plan. Yes, we're going to raise your taxes to give you medical. That's it. It's going to cost you less money. I can tell you how much my cost, and it'd be insane for you to know how much it costs through my employer for my insurance. I hate it. It doesn't make any fucking sense. At the end of the year, with my deductibles and copays and everything else, you know, you're up to like $10,000. So why would I want to turn that around and just put that into a pot for everybody to use, even if I don't use it, because it's there if I need it?
And this is to a large degree the campaign that Bernie attempted to run in two election cycles, was to talk about, we're going to take the money you spend on healthcare and we're going to spend it on healthcare, but we're going to do it in this government-based plan where we expand Medicare. Like, fine, that's all good messaging. But force the vote doesn't continue that messaging. It presumes that that messaging has won and is effective. And because it has won and is effective, the vote that is forced will be victorious. And that those two things are fundamentally detached from each other. And that's the entire problem with stuff like force the vote and why the left is fractured. You continue down the messaging pipeline until you definitively win the messaging, and then the vote happens. You haven't won the messaging on Medicare for All yet. And because you haven't won the messaging on Medicare for All, getting a vote to occur is hard. You might have to force it. It's so hard.
Yeah, you might actually have to get more than four people to sign on the piece of paper to force a vote. I think what force a vote does, and this is where we talk about policy, we talked about this before, is it alienates and makes you choose. The voters, though, at this point in time in Republican counties are not going to hold accountable their representatives for not voting for Medicaid, for voting against it, Medicare for All. So until you can get the conservative suburbans and farmlands to hold their representatives accountable for fighting against Medicare for All, you're not going to have it because you just don't have enough willpower to get there. And it's going to take really, really crazy messaging to get there, but that's what it is. It's all about messaging. At the end of the day, Pelosi is a shitty leader because she cowtails to the wealthy, to the powerful. She knows her role in capital. She's a shitty neoliberal, wealthy person who will never fight against capital. And you're never going to find another leader until they can get to a majority vote, and they can't get there unless they get amassed enough power, meaning you have to get people in your city and your county to vote for a more left representative.
So instead of wasting resources at the federal level trying to force a vote when you have no federal power, you should be working locally. This is our consistent and perpetual message on this. And it's made more difficult because the left is fractured. So now that we know the left is fractured, the next thing we're going to talk about is the perpetual grift that goes on in online left spaces. So we'll start by saying, what is grifting?
The grift is basically like pretending that you're doing something and getting money to do it. I don't know how easier way of saying it. It's basically like you're upholding a state, pretending to fight against it so you can maintain that state and rake all the benefits from it.
So the definition of grift, according to the Oxford language that you get when you search it on Google, is to engage in petty or small-scale swindling as a verb, and as a noun, it's a petty or small-scale swindle.
And that defines the left. That defines majority of left podcasters, the Patreon holders, the ones that have podcasts pop all over the place that have 100,000 listeners or more, individuals who will sell you books that aren't actually there to make the left better. They're just there to entertain the left and keep running the same playbook over and over again to make you donate $5 so that they can maintain their status in society. It's a grift.
It's a small scale swindle.
Is that what you call it? Yeah, I would say it's a large-scale swindle, but yes, it's also a small-scale swindle.
So the definition of swindle is to use deception or deprive someone of money or possessions, a fraudulent scheme or action. Now, we're not necessarily suggesting that these podcasts and these online entities that do messaging are fraudulent in any way, shape, or form, but they clearly exist to extract money from listeners. And you could argue that they're money-making ventures and they're for-profit and that's what their purpose is. But I think there needs to be a distinction between somebody who is advocating for the leftist cause and somebody who is attempting to make money. Those two things are diametrically opposed to each other. It's very difficult for those to coexist. Maybe there's some way where that can be done. And to some extent, it would be much more helpful if the left had some steady stream of funding that would enable certain actions to occur because shit costs money. But to a large extent, these online entities are making money first, and they happen to be using a demographic that is leftist to do so.
They are making money. They're literally diverting resources that could go to left candidates or actual left causes for themselves. You can look up the major names of all the podcasts that you listen to. We don't list our names, but maybe names of everybody else. And you can find out if they maxed out on donations to Bernie. If you do anything, that should be your number one goal, is to go in, do the research, and see whether or not an individual maxed out. We're not going to tell you whether or not we maxed out, but I can tell you this. If we know that it's a thing, then there's a high chance that it probably happened. So think about that. If you gave $5 a month continuously over and over again into these, I mean, that's not, it's $60 a year. You could have given $60 to the Bernie campaign and had a bigger impact on the left than what the podcasters are doing.
And we're choosing Bernie as just a general national proxy because anybody that was marginally left, in all likelihood, should have been supporting Bernie. You can make the harm reduction argument, and he supported this vote and that vote. Like, fine, whatever. If you want to, like, parse out that nuance, okay. If perhaps these people donated to their local candidates, that's fine, too. Our general point is show evidence of using your resources to further the cause.
And if you want to, go to our website at workingmovement.com and buy a t-shirt. But you can't actually because there's nothing for sale on our site. It just goes right to our Anchor account because we're not here to make money. We're here to talk shit and hopefully inspire individuals to run leftist campaigns locally. That's it. That's the goal. Leftist fractured, We need individuals who go through the ranks on the left locally. Cut your teeth running. I don't give a shit if it's you're on the school board, if you're running for mayor, city council. There's so many things you can run for.
So we've talked in great depth about the ways in which the left is fractured and how, to some degree, the left is fractured because of the online left's media focus and entertainment-derived capitalism, where the goal is profit first and leftism second. If that is the mantra that we want to follow, where the goal is to make money and then focus on leftism, there are more efficient ways to make money, and we're going to discuss some of those. So our framing is, if you want to make money to support left causes, focus on how to make money and then use that money to help the left. It's a corollary to the there is no ethical consumption under capitalism. Take whatever money you can get in capitalism, because somebody else is going to take the money if you don't, and then use it to support the left cause.
A prime example is t-shirts or other right-wing gear. A lot of money is being made with convincing the right wing that they need to either wear a t-shirt that's fucking stupid looking, or buy prepping material, or buy underground bunkers, or buy more ammo, or buy more guns, or just buy all these things because they're fearful. The question is then, how do you extract their wealth to yourself and pull that money away from people who are going to turn that money back into the right-wing propaganda?
So we would argue that none of these material products should even exist. You should not be able to create t-shirts that have hate speech on them. But based on some of the Capitol insurrection videos, there are very clearly people wearing t-shirts that have hate speech on them. And somewhere, somebody spent money for a custom t-shirt. There are fascists out there that are selling fascist products and making money. And there's no mechanism that exists to stop this. We're not necessarily suggesting you should go out and create t-shirts that say any number of terrible hate speech derived things, but it's simply an example of the right has no inhibition to make money. And the left should have a similar lack of inhibition when it comes to making money to support the cause.
I'm going
to
drop the second South Park reference in the show, which doesn't happen very often because I haven't watched
it. It's a terrible show.
I haven't watched it in like 15 years, so all my references are like fucking old. But there's the episode where Cartman wants to get a gold record. That dates me a little bit there. So he just basically takes modern day pop songs and inserts the Jesus into it. And he gets like, he's able to then extract wealth, in this case, from the Christian population because they don't care. They're just going to buy stuff. So I'm saying, like, go out and make products that they're going to buy. Like, go out and buy pro-Jesus fascist shirts, right? Go out and sell Second Amendment right gun shirts, even though we believe in the Second Amendment. Go out and sell them to the fascists, because you can take their money and turn around and fund a leftist. They're going to buy them anyways. Buy, sell big and tall, overweight people, like AR-15, like magazine belts. Sell an extra extra big and tall drop holster, leg drop holster. Why? Because his fat thigh can't wear it, but he wants to LARP. Let him LARP. No one's selling them. They look stupid. If you see the people with the vests that are like, they need a triple XL, but they're wearing like a medium vest. Like come on. Like, they need this product.
And they're going to buy the product. They're going to buy it.
Yeah.
And the money is going to go to a cause that is absolutely less beneficial than, let's say, what you or I could come up with. So let's say we wanted to endeavor into the market of selling inane, dumb shit to fascists. We have a great product. We're going to sell it for a while. We're going to use Amazon and Google as a storefront because we want to spin it up quickly. We want people to be able to use whatever existing infrastructure exists. Google and Amazon don't give a shit. They're going to take our money.
Yep.
They're going to take our money indefinitely, right?
Yep.
Capital doesn't give a shit. They're going to make money. Their entire objective is to make money. And they can hand wave and say, well, we didn't know this was happening. But at the same time, this is happening in aggregate across the entire United States. People are selling fascist shit online. Google and Amazon are profiting. Nobody bats an eye. Oh, they're just a corporation. They don't have any obligation to care. But what happens when Google and Amazon suddenly don't have a motivation to continue letting you sell your shirts?
You end up like Parler. Parler took it too far. They fucked around and found out. But that was because the media Parler had hit a national scale that was part of a national insurrection that then made Amazon look like an asshole. So what did they do? They shut it down. That simple. Because the little bit of peanuts that Parler gave to Amazon is nothing. It pales in comparison to what like Target gives to Amazon, and Target's a direct competitor of Amazon. Like Parler means nothing. But if you get 1,000 Parlers, 1,000 Parlers is what Amazon's after. They don't care about each individual one. They want distributed products everywhere. So you have 35 leftists get on Amazon Prime and try selling dropship t-shirts. Guess what? They don't care. They don't even care which one of you is successful. As long as every time you sell a t-shirt, they get $1.50. They don't care if you get into retail arbitrage and you run around a Target and you buy everything that's 70% off clearance and then repost it and ship it off back to an Amazon warehouse. They don't care about that. People do it all the time. They don't care if you go to a shoe store and get a discount bulk rate on shoes, jack the price up because no one can get them and stick them on their shelves. They don't care. As long as you don't make them look bad, they don't care. GCP doesn't care, which is Google Cloud platform. Azure doesn't care, which is Microsoft's. AWS doesn't care. Nobody cares. Alibaba's web hosting doesn't care because they're all making money on you and it doesn't matter.
And that's the key lesson of this episode is that capital is making money through all of the leftist grifting.
The key message of this episode is no matter what is done, left or right, capital makes money. The goal of the leftists should be to extract as much wealth from the capitalists as possible because that's the only way to fight capital. So what does that mean? It means that somebody's making money every time you donate money to Patreon, the leftist and Patreon. Someone's making money every time you buy a t-shirt. The leftist or the right-wing fascist and the print company and the provider, PayPal, whoever it is that you're going through for money. Capital always makes money. So it's not enough to just buy things. It's also putting in and creating the network of retail and other ways to exchange money. They don't rely so much on capital. And our first step is to basically extract as much wealth as possible from the right-wing fascists because they're going to buy it anyways.
And part of the longer exercise is to heighten the contradictions of capitalism, where you have the left selling products to the right to elevate the left. And in the middle, you have capital raking money. But at some point, that balance skews out of whack. And that's a like long-term what we want to happen. So you use the example of Patreon. They're selling podcasts. Patreon is making money. We should not feel sorry for them. And all these left podcasts are wanting to scoop out a slice of Patreon's pie. Patreon doesn't give a shit. They're content to have these left podcasts on because it helps them make money. So the further you perpetuate these Patreon-based left podcasts, you're supporting Patreon. Patreon is capital. Like, they are. You're supporting capital. That's not to say that we don't want people getting paid, but you should really be focusing on where does your money go and how does it contribute to the left. We provide the example of go check the donation history of the various people you're donating to. That's not the only metric, but there should be some observable action that you can concretely view to say, I'm supporting left causes, and so are they. And together we can collectively advance whatever we want to advance.
This is a multi-step process that takes tearing down and building up the leftist movement. It doesn't just start with, you know, funding a few candidates here or there. It is fundamentally shifting the way that you view capital and how capital works. Every time you buy something, capital wins. And every time you give money away, capital wins. So what it comes down to is how can you disrupt this? And the only way that you can really disrupt this is to begin pulling money away from those that support capital, which is pulling money away from the right wing, the ANCAPs, the fascists, those that want capital to survive. Because once you cripple them, the support for capital begins to fall. And that's what we're working towards.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.